Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to a lively program today. We're going to be talking about today, we must continue to place our hope and trust in God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the transfer of power, as it's called, in Washington, D.C. Well, President Trump has just flown back to his home in Mar-a-Lago, down in South Florida, West Palm Beach, West Palm, and he will be president for another half hour approximately, and then Joe Biden will take the reins, leading our nation as the president. And with that being said, today we're going to be talking about the inauguration, what it's like, what Biden plans to bring to the table. Then we're going to look at, in contrast to that, what President Donald J. Trump has done for our nation in his four-year period in the White House. And in all of that being said, I want us to recognize we ought not to be hopeless, a sense of helplessness, or a sense of futility, but we need to trust in the Lord. Go back to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God and place our hope and trust in Him. As the psalmist says in Psalms 39 and verse 7, "And now, O Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee." And that ought to be the mindset for every Christian today. Although, I'm with you. I'm disappointed. I am saddened by the scenes in Washington. And we'll talk about that. But as Christians and as conservatives, as patriots, we need to recognize that God's still in control. Go back and look at Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, the 4th and 5th chapter, and see what happened to Nebi as a result of having the confidence in self and not in God, and what God did to get his attention, and ultimately his stand and praise for the living God that controls this whole world. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 14:6, Jesus himself says, "I am truth." Truth, ladies and gentlemen, is a nebulous term in society today. I believe it's lost. The word truth, the idea of truth, is lost in the Beltway in Washington. I don't believe they look for truth. It was Trey Gowdy that left the House of Representatives, did not run a couple of years back. And he said as a prosecutor, his goal in a court scenario being played out before a jury was to discover truth. He said, but to my surprise and sadness, truth is not sought for in Washington. Now, that was a statement made by a brilliant prosecutor slash attorney slash representative in the U.S. House of Representatives. And that's exactly what George Orwell was saying. He was a secularist. By the way, he wrote the dystopian fiction novel, 1984. And in that, he said, the future of a society drifts from the truth. As the society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, we see that having come to fruition in full force today in our nation. This is the reason we need to go back to a statement that I've used and cherished so long by Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I believe God's going to call upon us as Christians to stand for the truth and defend the truth even to death. Yes, I believe that we're watching, and we'll talk about it further in the broadcast, the dark days that Joe Biden says we're entering. Biden said it, I didn't. I happen to believe it based on what I know his agenda will be for America. But we are entering those dark days. The Bible calls them perilous times. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of Honda generators for the backup power source for your homes and business. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about landscape equipment for the professional as well as for the homeowner. Tools for Time has that knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions, ladies and gentlemen, about the power backup generation equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is located right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's home of that gigantic flag. 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flowing 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as I speak, the inauguration is underway in Washington, D.C. And ladies and gentlemen, today is a historic day because you see at 12 noon, just a few minutes from now, America will enter into what Joe Biden himself has called the dark days ahead. In fact, Joe Biden has said the dark days will go through 2021 and 2022, that perhaps at the end of latter part of 2022, we might see a change in America. Yes, I believe these words from our incoming president, I believe them because of what I see and what I've seen, understood he will do as president. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the first inauguration. Listen, this is the first inauguration in history to have 26,000 National Guardsmen, about 10,000 additional law enforcement made up of Capitol Police, D.C. Metro Police, the Secret Service, and all on duty to protect the incoming president. Now, this, ladies and gentlemen, I believe, is an official sign of force to let the nation see who's in charge. Now, you can look at it and slice that bacon any way you want to, but I believe it is a sign of force for we, the people, to recognize the new incoming president has authority and the forces to protect him. The official reason for this sign of force, I believe, is due to what they say was the protest. They call it a riot, a protest of January the 6th, where the Capitol was broken into, where some people died as a result of it. And it was all blamed on the Trump patriots, the President Trump followers. And what has not been told to the general public, the video footage that's not been fully released to the general public, was that Black Lives Matter and Antifa led the attack, the assault, the break-in of the Capitol. Yes, some of the patriots wound up inside. I understand that. But they're saying that this is the reason they have the show of force today. This is the first time, ladies and gentlemen, in the history of America where all of D.C. is totally locked down. The roads and the streets are blocked. They have gigantic military transport equipment blocking the roads. They have razor wire and a double row of fencing around the White House and the Capitol building. Concrete barriers blocking Pennsylvania Avenue. All airspace over D.C. is now blocked. All airplanes and helicopters and all surveillance equipment is in the sky surveilling every move and every movement for the inauguration. Even the National Guardsmen had to be checked to make sure that they didn't have anything on their social media that would be in any way negative said about Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. In fact, they took 12 of the guardsmen off duty. Evidently, they had something in the past that they had said about Joe Biden in a negative sense. Ladies and gentlemen, the social media pages were checked and double-checked, if you will, to verify that these were all men of integrity that would protect the incoming president. I understand the safety requirement. I understand the need for security. I understand that without any reservation or question. But ladies and gentlemen, it's the first time in history of an inauguration that no visitors, except for the few special guests invited by Biden and Harris and a few special guests invited by Congress, each representative and each senator could have one guest. Ladies and gentlemen, what had historically been on the full mall, the Washington Mall, up to 1 million people for the inauguration of Barack Hussein Obama. Approximately 1 million people or slightly less. They've argued about that, trying to minusculize the numbers that were there on the mall for the inauguration of President Donald J. Trump. And now, almost vacuous and void in the city of D.C., as far as visitors, spectators, and those for the inauguration. Rather than having thousands and thousands of cheering people, ladies and gentlemen, on the National Mall, today they have about 200,000 U.S. flags waving. I just made a little thought in my mind, wow, what a contrast to all of the inaugurations in history past. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, listen to the, how would you say, the elitism that's going to be participating in the inauguration. Lady Gaga, Lady Gaga will be singing the national anthem. I don't know of anything that's any greater stench in the nostrils of God than to have a presidential candidate being sworn in as president and a pervert singing the national anthem. I am saddened by that. I don't know what you see and understand about it. Here's one article that says, this field of flags represents not patriotism, but the silencing of each and every American voice that would rise up to expose this tyranny now playing out before us. A couple of paragraphs reads this way. They tell us that Joe Biden received more votes than the first black president in the United States history, Barack Hussein Obama. In fact, they want us to believe that creepy Joe Biden, a man with less personality than a cadaver, and who conducted a lazy and uninspiring campaign from his basement, received more votes than any other president in the history of America. Now, this most popular man of the people is too afraid to conduct his inauguration in front of the very people they claim that elected him and is replacing the people with a field of flags. The entire fake news media is operating on at full capacity today, filling the cyberverse with endless stories created to make you believe that this is the greatest day and the greatest display of patriotism since 1776. This writer says further, this field of flags represents not patriotism, but the silence of each and every American and the American's voice who would rise up to expose this tyranny now played out before us. The last world leader to use this many flags at one time was Adolf Hitler. Go back, look it up, and you'll see. It goes further to say, the Democrats have weaponized the events of January the 6th, blown them massively out of proportion, and have used that as an excuse they needed to turn Washington, D.C. in a full military zone. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying that for us to understand what is the difference that we're seeing now and that which we've seen historically in an inauguration of a new president, the United States of America. What a contrast. What a contrast. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about this today. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. And we're talking with Congressman Mike Hill, former representative of District 1 in the state of Florida, the House of Representatives. I'm delighted to have Congressman Hill with us today to talk about this comparison and contrast with Joe Biden's going into office. What is he proposing? What will he do as the leader of the known world, the United States of America? What will he do? What have we seen in the past with President Donald J. Trump. Congressman, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today. It's always my delight to have you on board with us. You have such great insight and an articulating ability to discuss what we're faced with in America. So we welcome you today, and thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on the show with you. And I'll have to just share with you that today I am shocked, just literally just shocked. Yesterday I had written to a number of friends, and I said, on January 20th, I'm going to be shocked no matter what happens. It looks like Joe Biden is going to be sworn in. And that is shocking to me, that we have a person who's being installed as the president of the United States of America who cheated to win. We have irrefutable evidence of fraud, election fraud. And he has as his vice president someone who is not even eligible to be vice president. Because to be vice president means that you're next in line to be president. And to be president, you have to be a natural born citizen. Kamala Harris is not a natural born citizen. She is not eligible to be president. Therefore, she's not eligible to be vice president. And I told my friends yesterday that I will be utterly shocked to see a fraud president being sworn in the United States of America. It is and it's against everything that the United States stands for. I also said yesterday that should by some kind of miracle that President Trump was sworn in, I would be shocked again that he would have beaten against all odds the entire left culture, which is against him and most Americans, this left-leaning culture towards socialism, towards hedonism, towards debauchery that we're seeing being played out before us, even within the church, we're seeing it. And so I'm just shocked today of what we are seeing. And I know, Dr. Youngblood, we can talk about the great accomplishments that President Trump did in a very short 4 years. They were amazing accomplishments. And my hope and prayer is that many of those will remain in place because it'll be too difficult to change them. We know that Joe Biden has talked about some changes that he wants to make, to take us back to the days of Barack Obama, back to the days of high taxes and high gas and oil prices. We'll see. We'll see how long that takes. But I just have to tell you, Dr. Youngblood, today I am just shocked.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I am shocked and I am saddened. I must admit that. I watched a lot of the activities on television this morning before leaving to go to the office, and I was saddened to see the president get on Marine One and then go to the air base and get on his plane, get on the presidential plane and fly to Florida, where he's now domiciled. That's his home in South Florida. I was saddened to see that, but I rejoice in the fact that God is still on the throne, that God is still in control. And I believe as Christians, as American Christians, as patriots, as conservatives, we need to simply trust in God and believe that God is still in control. And I just read again, refreshed my mind this morning in Daniel chapter 4 and 5 with King Nebi, that's Nebuchadnezzar, and his arrogance and his pride lifted his himself up to the point that he thought he was really, really powerful. But God brought him down. And I'm not wishing anything bad on President now being inaugurated Biden. But I do know that what we have looked at, Congressman, at this past track record what he said. I believe we're watching the overthrow of the Constitutional Republic. We're watching the standing up of the shadow government. We're watching the socialist Marxist agenda go into place. And the most liberal of every senator in U.S. history is Kamala Harris. And as you spoke so clearly, she is not qualified to be president. Therefore, she is disqualified as vice president. But yet, in my most humble opinion, she will become president in a short period of time, because I don't believe Joe Biden has the cognitive ability to carry out the task of president. But I just want to briefly go over a kind of a smattering, if I can use that term, of what Joe Biden has said he's going to do. Then I want us to dig deeply and look at what President Trump has done. I've got an article that's about 42 pages, list about 350 things that would be the administration, the President Trump's administration accomplishments during a brief four-year period of time. For example, looking at Biden going into office, and again, I think it's a stench in the nostrils of God to have a pervert singing the national anthem. Lady Gaga, as Shem is called, I think it's a stench in the nostrils of God. But Joe Biden has said, and he reiterated that just less than 48 hours ago, that the first thing he's going to do is enact the Equality Act. The Equality Act was House Bill 5 that was passed in 2019 by 240 representatives and 47 senators already on board. Would you take a moment to discuss that Equality Act and what that will do to Christianity in America, to the churches and to religious organizations? What is it? What will it do? And why should we be concerned?
The Equality Act was to try and bring the LGBTQ community, to give them the same rights as what we had with the Civil Rights Act in 1964, which says that you cannot discriminate on someone based on immutable traits that they might have, such as their race, their sex, their age, their practice of religion, things that were sacred to our country. And what the Equality Act does, it adds to that someone's sexual orientation, which is in no way immutable. You can change your sexual behavior anytime you want to. Even if you believe the fallacy of the homosexual community, that they were born as homosexuals, no one is forcing you to engage in that homosexual act. You can change whenever you want. You know, you can have some pervert who say, I was born as a pervert, and I can't help myself, I rape women. No, there's you can always control your own behavior if you have that desire. But what that Equality Act did was it put on the same level your sexual orientation, your proclivity to want to participate in perverted sexual acts, on the same level as someone's race, their sex, their age, their place of origin, those things that you have no control over at all. So what that will mean then is that it takes away from businesses to have the freedom to be able to operate and to keep their values that they want. It will force churches to perform marriages, homosexual marriages. What it does is it goes to a further erosion of the traditional Judeo-Christian values that we hold so dear in our society.
If I can elaborate on that, it will literally, and Nancy Pelosi, when they passed it in the House with 240 votes, she gleefully announced that, and she said, this bill will trump, and she smiled and said, if I can use that term, this bill will trump all religious liberties and religious freedoms, because in that bill, and I've got the bill before me, in that bill, it authorizes perverts, transsexuals, homosexuals, perverts in general, to be able to go into the ladies' bathrooms, ladies' locker rooms, shower rooms, and participate in women's sports just as though they're female. It will open Pandora's box to force every church, every religious school, every religious college, every religious organization to hire those, whether they are qualified, i.e. spiritual or not, to hire those if they make application and qualify otherwise of all of the backgrounds that's antithetical to biblical truth. It will force churches, Christians, Christian organizations in a position they cannot speak, write, publish, or distribute any material that's antithetical to the LGBTQ agenda. It will become a total devastating blow to Christianity in the United States of America. And yet Joe Biden, ladies and gentlemen, has said that that's the thing that he's going to do is by executive orders effectuate everything that was in the Equality Act. It will literally destroy religious liberties, religious freedom, and reverse everything that President Trump has done to protect faith, family, and freedom in the United States of America. Congressman, let's just take two or three other things before we make a transition to what President Trump has done. I want our listeners to understand what we're stepping into as of today at 12 o'clock, what we have before us, not in a negative sense, not in a hopeless sense, but in a reality of realizing what we have stepped into, and then we want to look back. You know, they say that as you're driving down the highway in your car, you see where you're going, and then you can look back and see where you've been. I want us to see where we're going with Joe Biden, but looking in the rearview mirror then to look back and see where we've been for 4 years with President Trump. Joe Biden says that he's going to open the southern borders. He's going to openly receive all illegal aliens. He said for 100 days there'll be no one deported. There will be no one that's refused. He said he will no longer increase the building of the border wall. In fact, on one occasion, he made the blatant statement that he removed the border wall. President Trump has had installed almost 500 miles of border wall. So with that being said, Congressman, what will that do to American business, to American workers, to American enterprise? What will that do to our nation? Because with those coming in, he's also said he's going to provide free medical care, free housing, free education. Everything's going to be free, including that which goes to the aliens coming in that are not documented were aliens, that is, not Americans, not citizens. What's it going to do to affect the United States of America?
Well, it's going to be devastating, Dr. Youngblood. First of all, he says it's going to be free. Nothing is free.
That's
it's
right.
It's going to have to be paid for. It's going to have to be paid for by taxpayers. And most of those taxpayers are middle America, those who get up each day and go to work and send their children to school and go to church on Sunday. The average hardworking middle class American is going to be paying for all of that. There is no such thing as free. It's going to cause businesses to have to increase their prices because businesses will be paying for it also. It is going to cause an increase in diseases coming into this nation. They used the lie that COVID required us to lock down our nation. When you have people coming in with diseases that are not here anymore, such as tuberculosis and other dreaded diseases, coming in with that, it is going to cause more of a health disaster than what they manufactured with COVID-19.
Absolutely. And with that influx, in fact, one writer that I researched behind said that we'd have approximately 52 million that will come into America, including the DACA that he's already said he's going to make legal now. They said it's about 11 million. Some have said it's as high as 22 to 30 million. So the estimated average, estimated number is about 52 million coming in, which will destroy the low-paying jobs for Americans and will displace it with those that are coming in being paid cash under the table, etc. Congressman, hold on for a moment. We're going to take the top of the hour news break for about 1 minute. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back with Let's Face the Issues right after the news.
And Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.